Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology. Today we're going to take a look at the upcoming conjunction between the Sun and Saturn in the sign of Pisces. You may not know this, but in terms of the synodic cycles that the Sun goes through with other planets, when the Sun or another planet that moves faster than the Sun comes into the conjunction together with the Sun, it's considered a moment of death for that planet as well as rebirth. And so right now we have something like an old Saturn that is dying and ready to be reborn. And that has some very specific meanings. And so we're going to talk about what those meanings and themes are, and then I'm going to run through a quick breakdown of the whole sign horoscopes you can listen to for sun or rising sign as a way of understanding which house topics and themes are getting activated through this moment of Saturnian death and rebirth. So that is our agenda for today. Please. Caress, that was a good one. Someone left caress the like button. Someone had tap dance on the like button. I'm really enjoying what you guys are coming up with. Smash it, hit it, tap it, love it. What is another one? Gently depress. Anyway, appreciate you guys liking and subscribing as always. You can find a transcript of today's talk on the website, nightlightastrology.com. I want to take you over there right now because my next monthly webinar for the month of March is on sale. You can register and join us. And hold on, let me just get it up. I don't know where. Here we go. All right. So if you go over to nightlightastrology.com, click on the live events tab or go up to the events page and click live events. Scroll down and you'll see that on March 14th, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, my next monthly webinar that I'm doing, a new monthly webinar each month, doing something a little bit different. The first three are on the outer planets in love. So this month of March, we're going to be talking about Neptune in love, both in the birth chart and by transits of Neptune to the birth chart. How does Neptune show up in love, intimacy, sexuality? What lessons or teachings does it have? What are the pitfalls you have to be aware of? Hope to see you guys there. It's $20 to register. If you cannot, we get a live link to the webinar, but if you can't attend live, we send you a download link so that you can receive the talk and watch it on your own time on your own device. So hope to see some of you there. I'll be promoting that more as the time gets closer to the webinar in March. And let's turn our attention to the Sun and Saturn. So here's what's going on in the sky. This is Wednesday, February 21st, and you'll see that the Sun and Saturn are coming together. Now, the Sun moves faster than Saturn and superior planet, which means that its orbit is out beyond from the Chaldean order perspective of ancient astrology, the Sun sits in the middle by speed, and as we see it move through the zodiac, Saturn is slower than the Sun. In that Chaldean order. So the Sun approaches Saturn to conjoin in the synodic cycle. Some planets like Venus, for example, will conjoin the Sun because Venus moves quicker than the Sun. But either way, when the two planets get together, any in their synodic cycle with the Sun, it's a moment of dying and being reborn. So as the Sun approaches Saturn, let's speed this up a little bit. You can see that their conjunction, and I'm going to circle this a little bit more broadly here, their conjunction, which Mercury will also participate in through its Kazemi, comes around about February 28th. You could stretch it out a little bit to the 29th, February 28th and 29th. Now, that is next week. So you might be saying, well, that's a little bit, we're getting ahead of ourselves, aren't we? But no, because by the time that these two planets come to be in the same sign, which is really Monday of this week, right? Now we're on Wednesday, February 21st, and we're under that 8-degree range, which is the combustion range. So this is where Saturn is an old Saturn that's burning up, ready to pass. That can mean so many different things metaphorically. And as this conjunction comes through, of course, Mercury will be dying and being reborn as well. We talked a little bit about the uh-oh of Mercury's situation yesterday. So today we're going to talk about Saturn. Now, as these two planets come together, we want to watch for a variety of themes. Here is what I think you will notice. Number one, the old, the expiring, and the outworn. Now remember, we're going to take these through your 12 whole sign horoscopes and give you some brief keywords to think about today. But these are the things you could watch for given the topics we're going to cover in the horoscopes we're about to do. So I want to cover this first so you can just take the topics and apply them. So you're going to watch for that which is old, expiring, and outworn, just making itself very, it's obviously known. This isn't working. This is old. This is expiring. This is not, this is not working anymore. So just that simple theme of something old that's dying, that's an old Saturn that's combust the sun, about to experience rebirth. Moving across the threshold, Saturn was the god of boundaries and limitations, but also was seen not so much as the limiter, but the signification of what sits between things. So like a wall or a boundary. Now, people take that to mean that Saturn is inherently all about grounding and boundaries and structures and kind of. But the other thing you have to remember is that a boundary is, for Saturn, also a gateway. It's a threshold between something on one side and something on the other side. So when you think of Saturn, you often think about thresholds and gateways and boundaries between things that are both entailed in the significations of Saturn. So this is why Saturn also rules the opposition and connects opposites in astrology through tensions and relaxings of tensions and so forth. So moving across the threshold, an old dying Saturn being reborn means that we are moving, the sun is quite literally passing through the gateway of Saturn in a sense. And that gateway could take us from something old to something new, or something from something new to something that's more traditional, or something that we were trying that we're just going to go back to something old. But any kind of dichotomy between one thing and another thing and the threshold between them is something to think about. We're crossing over a boundary or threshold. Number three would be deterioration, grief, releasing, and surrendering. Saturn is melancholic. Saturn in double-bodied water sign is transitional and emotional. And so some kind of transition that involves releasing, surrendering, and a process probably of deterioration, letting go. Maybe that also involves grief, especially with the signature of water involved in the sign of Pisces. Number four would be a serious situation that must be addressed. Saturn is gravitas. Saturn is weightiness. It's consequential. It's heavy. It's mature. So there might be something serious that's coming up that it's the sun meeting Saturn says, now this must be understood. This must be addressed. This must be looked at. And number five, the need to mature, grow, or face consequences from previous cycles of activity. So we have a kind of moment of maturation. Saturn is the exaltation ruler of Libra, the moment of harvest. This is why we sort of whimsically say that Saturn rules karma. It doesn't. Karma is not ruled by a planet. Planets are expressions of karma. Make sure to remember that. But the most important thing here is just that Saturn can bring a more weighty sense of karmic consequence, something that has history behind it, like getting a PhD because you put in hard work, for example, or getting cancer because you've smoked for 50 years or something. You know what I'm saying? So, so the need to mature, grow, or face consequences. These are the kinds of themes to watch for. Now, let us take a look at the whole sign houses involved, and we'll see what we can do to understand where things are heading. I'm going to actually change my point of view here for a second to make it just a little clearer and simpler to see. All right. So we're going by whole signs, and we're going to start with Aries. So first of all, we look and we see that if you're in Aries, the conjunction is in the 12th house. So for Aries, this is a very unconscious space. It's a blind spot. It's something that you don't see as easily. And so that could be people, places, things, energies that are undermining you that you have to face, some kind of threshold or situation that is coming to a head that requires you to mature, face consequences, deal more seriously with something, look more carefully at something, understand something that's been hidden or blind to you. And that could be coming from within yourself or something around you. It can also suggest a moment of deeper emotional or spiritual healing, release, surrender, and probably something that has a bit of an unconscious history in you. So those are the things to watch for Aries that come to my mind right away. And I'm just kind of reaching for the low-hanging fruit here just to stimulate our understanding. So if you're a Taurus, if you're looking Taurus, Sun, or Rising, then this falls into your 11th house, which is the place of friends and allies, benefactors and colleagues. And so we're looking at a transition around who you work with or how you work with the people that you work, the organization or infrastructure of various places and or institutions and organizations that you belong to, the people, the colleagues, the friends, the networks. And there's something passing away. There's a threshold that's being crossed, a serious situation that's being addressed. The death and rebirth of Saturn in the 11th brings a more consequential feeling around friends, groups, allies, and things like that. And also maybe addressing the long-term future of your dreams, hopes, and wishes, which are also connected to the 11th house. So that's for Taurus. For Gemini, it's squarely in the career house. So we are talking about the theme of death, birth, transition, thresholds, the old, outworn, or expiring, the releasing and surrendering, the serious situation that must be addressed, the need to mature or grow, all within the workplace or within the context of power and responsibility in the workplace, action and duty in the workplace. And so this is some kind of, you know, significant transformation that's happening in that career house for Gemini. It's pretty straightforward. Now, if you're not working, this would be your activities that link you to the world, that take you out of your house, so to speak, anything like that, anything that involves you in the world in action. So if you're, you know, if you're retired, it would be what kind of activities do you have and how are they changing? All right. So if you are a Cancer, then we place this into the ninth house, the place of beliefs of your higher mind, education, learning, professors, sages, gurus, mystical experience, spirituality. This is your moral and spiritual compass, your beliefs and the direction that they're heading in. Some kind of change happening around teachers, learning, education, philosophy, beliefs, the direction of your life vis-a-vis your beliefs. Well, something here is old, outworn, expiring, moving across a threshold, releasing or surrendering, deepening, becoming more mature. And or maybe there's something serious that's happening that has to be addressed in this realm. So that's the ninth house realm for Cancers. All right, we're doing this just briefly to give you guys some way of looking in on this. For Leos, this is the eighth house. Now, this is your house. This is, I sometimes call it the blood bank house. It's where you donate to others, they donate to you. You owe others, they owe you. You receive blessings from others, they receive from you. So the area of your life that's going through this kind of Saturnian death and rebirth, this reset, is the place of reciprocal karmic contracts. Not that you can be aware consciously of all of them or even why they are the way that they are, but nonetheless, debts, blessings, payments, exchanges, these are the kinds of things to think about in the eighth house. So you're looking at old, outworn, expiring contracts with other people, moving across a threshold within the give and take of karmic contracts with other people, deterioration, grief, release, and surrendering as things that have been or now being released, that exchanges or relationships have to be released that have a kind of, have had a kind of karmic give and take, a serious situation that has to be addressed, that has consequence behind it from the past, or that requires a need to grow, mature emotionally, spiritually. Those are heavier placement for Leos for sure. We go forward to Virgos, and now we're looking at the relationship house. If you're a Virgo, this is all about the old and expiring and outworn within relationships, love, sexuality. You're moving across a threshold here. There is a sense of grief releasing, surrendering, deteriorating, something that more serious that needs to be addressed, the need to mature, grow, or face consequences from the past. And all of this can mean that there is a deepening happening in your relationships, but it comes through this kind of death and rebirth of Saturn, the planet of gravitas, and a planet that really gives us perspective if we're willing to look at the difficult things that Saturn brings up. So that's coming through the area of relationships, a more consequential moment for Virgos. All right, well, we move into Libra territory, and this pushes the Sun and Saturn into the sixth house, a place of sacrifice, a place of hard work and labor toward things that we value. You throw a bit of your, you know, you throw a bit of your blood, sweat, and tears into the sacrificial flames of the sixth house. And with that hard work, it yields results, but often in time and often slowly and not in proportion to the work that has to go in. It's a bit like the, you know, the idea of apprenticeship. You know, apprenticeship doesn't pay off often for quite a while. You got to put a lot of time in. There's work and service and suffering and sacrifice and passion and struggling through adversity and challenges and overcoming them that are all part of the sixth house. So a place of adversity and frustrations and perseverance, as well as sacrifice and service to something that you think is worth sacrificing for. And this is a more serious moment where the themes of sacrifice, labor, work, frustrations, perseverance are coming up. And this could also be a moment that helps you move across a threshold, grow as you release and surrender something that's old or outworn or expiring. It's a more serious moment of consequence and sacrifice. So that's for Libras. Now we move forward and we put Scorpio on the ascendant, which places the Sun and Saturn into the fifth house. So the fifth house is called the joy of Venus and the place of good fortune, a place that's associated with everything pleasing, romantic, sensual, exciting, joyful, creatively satisfying. It's also associated with children, pregnancy, things that in time reward us and make us feel happy and make us feel like we are creatively birthing things into the world that are somehow joyful and happy. So this house, there's a creative reset happening. There's something old, outworn, expiring. You're moving across a threshold when it comes to joy, creativity, the topics of children and pregnancy. There may be themes of release or surrendering, a more serious or consequential situation that maybe that needs to be addressed, the need to mature, grow, or face consequences, but all with respect to some kind of transition around your happiness, your joy, your creativity, or things like children, romance, and love. These are all fifth house topics as well. So the deeper question being about joy and happiness and the need to grow in relation to your level of creative fulfillment in life. The Scorpio brings serious themes into a house that's really a beautiful, creatively uplifting house, but got to look at things there this month if you're Scorpio. So Sagittarians, this places the connection of Saturn and the Sun in Pisces, into the fourth house, the place of roots, home, family, living environment, parents, ancestry, things like heredity and DNA and mom and dad and the living environment that you live in, the property that you live on. So here we see that there are themes of greater seriousness that have to be addressed around home, family, or living environment, the karmic or ancestral past with respect to your upbringing. You're moving across some kind of threshold with respect to home, family, or living environment. There's a theme of things that are old or outworn or expiring that need resetting around home or family or living environment. There's themes perhaps of releasing or surrendering and heavier or more serious consequences from the past that have to be looked at, released, moved through. Let's move ahead. Capricorn on the ascendant places the Sun and Saturn into the third house, a place that is called the joy of the moon, Dia or goddess, and has to do with the environment around us. You can think of this as the house of culture, like the ecology of your life, your neighborhood, I've used this so many times, but it's like if you're a fish, this is the description of the aquarium that you live in. It's all around you. It's not exactly the same as the little rock you live under, which is your home as a goldfish, let's say, you know, in the tank, but it's the rest of the tank around you that you swim in every day. And so this place is also associated with mind, mood, environment, people that are important in the environment, the way you make your way in and around and through the environment, the kind of feedback the environment gives you, how it influences you, how you influence it, what kinds of connections you have through culture, all of which are very important. They connect you to things like siblings, neighbors, aunts and uncles, people that live sort of in proximity around the home, connected maybe through environment or through family. So they're here in this place of mind, mood, emotion, environment. There is information coming to you about things that are old, that aren't working, that are dying, that there is a need to release or surrender various features or facets of the environment, or to shift mind, mood, or emotions in relation to the environment. There is a need to mature, grow, or face consequences, again, within the everyday environment and the flow of communication within it. That's a little bit more nebulous. Honestly, the third house is always that way, but you're going to watch for subtle changes happening in and through the environment around you that, if addressed seriously and maturely, can have a big impact on your everyday life and health and well-being. All right, for Aquarius, we have the Sun-Saturn conjunction in the second house. That is the place of assets and resources and the cultivation and development of skills, assets, and resources, both energy, skills, abilities, money, and any one or anything that you lean on for a form of support. Here we see that there are things that are old and expiring and outworn that are ready to be reset somehow. You're moving across a threshold with respect to what you have, what you possess, what you own, what you're trying to cultivate or develop as a matter of something you have or are in possession of personally or financially. There's something to be released or surrendered, a consequential situation that has to be addressed, the need to mature, grow, or face consequences around time, energy, money, assets, income, expenditures, things like that. Finally, Pisces rising. Pisces rising places the Sun Saturn in the first house. So we have this in the place of health, vitality, body, appearance, psychology, personality, character. You, as a Pisces, are ready to let go of things within you that are not working, that are expiring or outworn, maybe aspects of your lifestyle, your health, your self-care regimens. This might have to do with an old you that's ready to be released and a new you that's ready to be born. This is a serious existential moment for you to be thinking about who you are, what is or isn't right or real for you, what your no's and yeses are. The need to mature or grow or change is more consequential right now and very personal for you as a Pisces. So that takes us through just a little quick jaunt through the signs to give you some sense of how these death and rebirth themes with Saturn might play out given the topics of the house they fall in. Most accurate will be your rising signs. That correlates with the whole sign version of your birth chart. But you can always listen to your sun sign as well if you like sun sign horoscopes. So that's an option. It ought to be interesting to note that, you know, Mercury will be paired with this, which brings even more weightiness to everything we've said. But if you want to hear a little bit more about Mercury's involvement, listen to yesterday's video where I break down Mercury's journey through this entire process in greater depth and detail. Okay, that is it for today. Don't forget to pop over to the website to sign up for Neptune in Love, which is our mid-March webinar that I'll be doing. If you want to check that out, those are beginner friendly. They're also specific enough that advanced students may get something really nice out of them. So I hope you guys will enjoy that after the Pluto webinar. I thought that went very well. I was really glad to see people and hope to see you guys next month for Neptune. All right, that's it for today. We'll see you guys again tomorrow. Bye, everyone.